We're going to read James chapter 1, verse 16 through 25 together. It says this, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." And so we read in this passage that if we're going to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word, then we're going to have to ask ourselves, what does that mean? What does it mean to truly be a doer of the word? And we're going to read, you read in verse 16, we jumped in, we covered this a little bit last week, but we read in this, in 16 through 18, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above." And he's going to begin to tell us that we have a loving, good Father who loves to give good gifts. In fact, he's the one who gave us, and the fact that he brought us forth by the word of truth, he gave us the message of salvation. Not only that, he calls us, we're the first fruits of his creatures, which means simply saying, there's more to come, that this seed is going to bear fruit, and I'm going to redeem mankind. And he's painting this picture. James is painting this picture of us and giving us a picture of how good our God really is. And in all of that, he's trying to posture us in a way, and we're going to look at this morning, what is the posture we have to truly be able to receive the word of God and obey it? Because there's a posture. And what he's saying here is that there's a way that I want to do that. I want to draw you in. And so this morning, becoming a hearer and doer of God's word requires the right posture. Becoming a hearer and doer of God's word requires the right posture. And we're going to talk about what that posture is. And this morning, I just want us to consider how we are to be postured to truly receive and obey God's word. So the first thing is this. The right posture to receive God's word is that we'd be attracted by the beauty of God. Verse 16 through 18 is there to really draw us in to see the beauty of who God is, that you have a good Father who's given you grace, who's given you the message of salvation, who's poured out his love upon you, that you're his first fruits. He loves you. He cares for you. And all of that, he's drawing us into the beauty of who he is. And so one of the things I want you to see, one of the most powerful sources for obedient living is a love for Christ. One of the most powerful sources for obedient living is a love for Christ. And James knows this. And so James is drawing us in to show us how cared for and how loved we are as his children. He's saying he's a good, good Father who gives good gifts. He loves you. He's drawing us in so that we'd be fascinated by his love. We'd be fascinated by his beauty. And so James doesn't just give us a list of rules to obey, but a God to love. He doesn't give us just rules to obey, but a God to love. He paints a picture of the goodness of God to draw us in. So we want to hear more. Like, man, this is a good God. I want to hear more. I want to hear the words that he says. How many of you grew up taking some type of musical lesson, like piano lesson, guitar lesson, flute, violin? How many of you took some type of musical lesson growing up? Raise your hand. Hi. Everyone look around. Okay. See everyone? Okay. How many of you quit that at some time in your life and you don't know how to maybe play that instrument very well today? Okay. A lot of us. All right. And here's why. Because a lot of us, when we began those lessons of learning the piano, let's say the piano, It was a lot of rules. Like your piano teacher would come and say, you got to practice this many times a week. You got to learn the notes. You got to learn the scales. You got to do this. And you're sitting there and like fingers hurting. You're looking outside. All your friends are playing. And you're like, man, I want to go out there. And I'm sitting here playing the piano. This isn't cool. But sometime later in your life, there comes this time where you're captivated by the beauty of music. And you go, dang, I wish I would have kept playing. Right? Like, that's a lot of us. Like, dang, I wish I would have kept learning piano. I wish I would have kept it up playing guitar. And because there's a point in our life where we've become captivated. We've gone and we've sat and we've listened and we've just been, like, seeing the beauty and or heard the beauty of music. And we go, man, I wish I would have kept going. And James is doing that very thing. James wants us to be postured in a way that we'd be fascinated with who God is and that we'd be drawn in by that beauty and go, man, I want to hear more. This God who gives good gifts, I want to hear more. He's saying this is the author of this text. Lean in and listen. And he's trying to overwhelm us with the beauty so that we're at a place that we're ready to hear. But the truth is, maybe some of us this morning would say, I don't know that I've truly been captivated or fascinated with who God is. And really, if I were to be honest with you, I'd say, man, God doesn't fascinate me. And that's why we spend so little time in his word. Because the author of this book who wrote these words to us, we're just not fascinated with him. And that's possibly because we don't truly know him. Or it could be that we're more fascinated with binge watching TV shows and YouTube and Netflix. Or maybe we've become more fascinated with looking at what our friends just ate and posted on Facebook, you know? Or maybe because we've just become more fascinated with searching the internet hours and hours and hours. It's so easy to become fascinated with these things, but if we're truly going to posture ourselves in a way to receive the Word of God, we have to be captivated by the beauty of God. The God of the universe, the God of all creation is speaking right here in this book. We have it. It's a gift, guys. Second thing is this. The posture we're going to have is we're going to approach under the authority of God's word. We're going to approach under the authority of God's word. In verse 19 through 21, it says, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." So I want us to see this posture because this is very important. We are to see the authority of God's word and approach it with humility, okay? And so I want you to think about the posture of humility when we talk about the authority of God's word and approaching God's word with humility. And what he's saying is that there's this tendency for some of us to do life in a way that does not produce the righteousness that God desires for us. And I don't think that's our hope. Like, we hope that we're here, that we are producing the righteousness of God that he desires for us. And so a lot of times when we look at this passage, it says, "Know this, my beloved, let other person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Like, we're the opposite of that. And the opposite of that is, think about it, like, we're quick to listen in. We're quick to really hear and want to hear a person out before we respond. The opposite of that is, as the person's talking, we're like, oh, I know what I need to tell him. Like, I know what I need to say. I know what I need to speak into this. And so you come to a sense of pride where you're like, I know the answer. Like, I know how to help you. I know how to speak into this. And this is just an example. Like, he's saying, be quick to listen. But in reality, a lot of times we're the opposite. We're just ready to speak in. A lot of times we're listening to people, and before they even finish their sentence, we're already thinking about what we're going to say next. We don't do a really good job of listening. And he's saying, you need to approach the word of God in a sense that you're ready to listen, not speak. And because sometimes we're going to pick up this word and we're going to go, in my pride, I'm going to go, man, I already know this. I've already heard this. I've already read this before. Surely God doesn't really have anything he wants to say new to me, right? Like, surely I got this all figured out. Surely I'm good. And he's saying, no, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen and lean in and hear. He's got something he wants to tell us. And so he's saying, remove that pride. Set aside that pride. And that's where he says to put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. He's saying receive it with humility. Receive the word that God is speaking with humility. Don't be so angry that something has exposed you in God's word. Just be quick to listen and approach it with humility and go, I got something that God wants to teach me through his word. And so this morning, when you think about that, I want you to read that verse 21 with me. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive or put on humility. It's this idea, and I want you to get that picture. It's really a taking off of pride and putting on humility. And it's a posture. It's a place that we are to come into the Word of God and go, all right, like, there is something I must do to truly hear the Word of God this morning. It's not like I just open it and read it. There's something I got to position my heart in a way to not be one of great pride that says, I got this all figured out, to one of going, I got something to learn. One of the commentators that I read this week, he said, Christian obedience is never fully habitual. It requires a daily putting on of Christ. And like, we got to put it on. We have to put on humility. Romans 12:2, I love this passage. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Do not be conformed. See, conformity is the natural pattern of this world. We're going to wake up tomorrow and we're going to naturally just be conformed to the world. But if we're going to be transformed, the way that's done is we have to renew our mind through the Word of God. Some of us don't think we need renewing. Some of us wake up tomorrow morning and we go, man, I'm good, right? Like, I got this figured out. And the truth is, we approach this prideful because that's the way we've kind of been taught all our life. We've been told we're special. We've been taught that we're above authority. And maybe we've played sports growing up, and you've played in one of those leagues where, like, everyone receives a trophy, right? Because everyone's a winner. So you've grown up thinking you're a winner, and then you got your first job and your boss didn't think you're a winner, and you're like, what happened? Why didn't I get the achievement award this month, you know? Or maybe, like, you've grown up and your parents have told you, like, you're a special, unique little snowflake all your life. And so you've grown up and you walk into the workplace the first day and your boss is like, Bill, what are you doing? Like, you've really missed the mark. And you're like, oh my gosh. There's a sense of going, we have to lay down that pride, because pride is going to tell us, I already know this. Pride is going to tell us, hey, I've already heard this passage. There, you may even be there this morning. You're like, I've already read the book of James. I've already heard it. I've already got this figured out. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. You should be teaching us this morning if you have it figured out. Pride tells us, I've already heard this. Pride tells me I can just casually browse the Word of God because I got this. And he's saying this is not going to produce the righteousness that God desires. This type of searching and posture of pride is not going to produce the righteousness. Are you willing to take the Word of God and allow God to tell you you're wrong? Are you willing to open this book, because you're going to be exposed, and open it up and allow God to challenge you on some of the things that you believe? There's something God wants you to do differently. There's a different way which God wants you to go about living life. And in our pride, we don't sometimes think that way. And pride is ultimately going to keep us from this book, because you're like, I don't need it. All right, third thing is this. The third posture is we're to appreciate the value of God's word. It tells us in verse 21 that this implanted word, and the word implanted means it's already been implanted in you, which means you've already received the message of the gospel. And as you've received the message of the gospel, this implanted seed, you have to have a heart of humility that is like, a rich soil that's ready to receive this word. And so that's really what he's talking about, the planted word, that your heart is to be a soft soil that is willing to receive the seed of the implanted word. But then he goes on, he says, when you do this, when you receive this, it's able to save your souls. Now I think, I read that and I go, that sounds pretty important, right? Saving your souls sounds like something I need to lean in and listen to. I need to hear what he's talking about here this morning. And what I want you to see is the Bible is incredibly valuable. How valuable something is determines how you approach it. Okay? And if it says the word is able to save your souls, that sounds like something I need to lean in and listen to. And so it's going to produce something in us. It's going to produce soul healing. It's going to give care for our soul. We're going to read here in a little bit. It's going to give us blessings and peace. And so a good test for how valuable Scripture is in our lives is just to look at how much are we receiving it. You want to know how valuable Scripture is to you? What's your weekly intake of God's Word? How often are you pouring in Scripture into your life? And I don't want this to sound so legalistic this morning or sound like rules, but I had someone tell me one time, like, in teaching the Word of God and, like, telling people, like, hey, it's important to read our Bible, this is a tool, not a rule. And we're teaching tools this morning, not rules. Tools for growth. We're teaching you tools that lead to health and care for your soul. This morning, a good father wants what's good for you. And it's valuable. Listen to these two passages. I don't think these are on the screen. You can write these down. Psalm 19:10, talking about the word of God. It's saying, the word of God is more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of honeycomb. Proverbs 2:1-5. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it, what? The words of God. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you have searched this word like you're searching for treasure? If I were to tell you this morning, okay, and we'll see hands, we'll get a vote here in just a second. If I told you that there is $1 million buried in my backyard, and I'm not really interested in getting it, but you're more than welcome to come over this afternoon and do that, how many of you would show up at my house this afternoon? Okay? All right? Some of you are lying this morning, okay? You would be digging. It's not good to do that in church. But so you would be there, right? And if you truly believed me, and I hope you do, and you go, Justin said there's $1 million buried in his backyard. I doubt you're going to come over my house and kind of just kick around the dirt and be like, I guess it's not here, and go home. You wouldn't just come over and like take one shovel full and throw it aside and be like, I didn't find it. And go. You know what you'd be doing? You'd be out there like with a tractor digging up my backyard, feverishly looking tirelessly until you dug up every inch of dirt in my backyard to find the treasure. If there's gold there, you're going to dig for it. And the thing is do we truly believe the word of God? Because he says there's gold. It's treasure. And we're to seek it. And if we truly believe that, then this morning we have to lean in and go, man, how deeply have I really been digging? Have I just been kicking around the soil, the surface? I did it for today, I'm moving on. Or are we digging, truly, truly digging? God's word is valuable. And so often we neglect to see the profit that comes from intaking Scripture. And we have a gift, we don't even know it. And so one of my favorite shows is a show called Antique Roadshow. One of the things I love about the Antique Roadshow, you're like, man, that's old school, all right? Here's what's awesome about it. Like, people take the, like, miscellaneous things from around their house, and they go to this show, and people evaluate it, and they go, hey, here, and many times people don't know the value of what they have. And so one of my favorite ones is this old man who finds, who was given this blanket. And I want you to see his reaction when he finds out how valuable this truly is. Check out the screens. One of the things, like, I love what he says, like, The way he handles it, he goes, it's just sitting on the back of a chair. Like, he has no idea of the value of this thing that had been passed down family to family to family. And he would probably treat it differently if he truly knew the value of it, right? Like, I doubt that he would have allowed the blanket to be just laying out for $350,000. There was actually one on the Antique Roadshow. You got to go back and watch this video because it's an awesome one. You can find it on YouTube. But one of these actually went for like $1.5 million. Okay, totally, that'll change your life. And the guy had no idea what he had also. So here's the thing. I want you to see the Word of God. We may be negligent to think that this book doesn't hold much value, and I think it's the same way. Like, this is gold. Like, we've been given a great gift. But yet, so rarely do we open it. And maybe it's just sitting over on the cabinet, sitting on the bookshelf, sitting in the back seat of the car from last week when you came to our gathering. And you go, man, this is so valuable. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says this. All scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It's what the Word of God does in us. And so these are the three postures. We're to receive it and approach it. It's just beautiful. We're to approach it and see that it has value. We're to approach it in a way of humility. And once we're in a place that we're ready to hear it, then the second thing is this: becoming a hearer and doer of God's word requires reading the Bible. Big point. This may seem obvious, but it requires actually reading the Bible. In the first century, it says, but don't be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's because the Bible was typically taught just orally, that people would go to the synagogue, the Bible would be taught. And he's saying, don't just come to the synagogue and hear the word of God taught. Like, actually go and apply it and do it. But we do have to read it. We do have to spend time with it. We have the written word, which is a gift, to read in community, to read on our own, to come to our gatherings and the word of God is taught. And typically most of the Bible was written to communities. And so even us as a community, like, to be able to dig in and receive this word. And I just want to say there's many different tools out there. It's just super practical this morning. If you're here this morning, like, I don't know where to begin reading the Bible, there's some great tools out there. The ESV app on iPhone and Android, you can download this app. They have reading plans. And I would encourage you to choose one that's not so, like you're having to dig through like four or five different books of the Bible every day. You should be able to cover the entire Bible in 1 year just reading 15 minutes a day. You think that's not crazy. That's not an overload. I mean, just 15 minutes a day, you can read through the entire Bible in 1 year. There's also great tools. Like, one of the tools I would recommend, Paul Tripp's book, New Morning Mercies, has a short devotional and a Bible reading every day. And I would jump on Amazon and order that. It's super, super gospel-centered, super helpful. But there needs to be a daily intake of God's word. Like, to think if, you know, many times when we look at this book, we just seem like overwhelmed. We're like, there's so much. And we kind of look at this. How many of you have ever tried to, like, learn a language? And the truth is, like, you're not going to wake up one morning and be fluent in Spanish, okay? It doesn't happen. Like, it takes work and it takes time, and it's going to take discipline to discipline yourself to begin taking a daily intake of God's word. We live in a fast food world, instant everything. But the truth is, if we're going to see the value of God's word, we got to make margin for it in our life. We have to take time. And one of the things I want you to see is, like, just talking about seeds in this implanted word, these small seeds, these small times of beginning to read the word, small seeds are going to lead to giant trees. You're going to look back after a year of devouring God's word and digging in and going, man, these are all the things I've learned. And because of that, now here's all the things that I live and do differently in light of what I just read. You got to begin reading. You got to begin feeding yourself. A lot of people are dependent upon a pastor or a Bible study or something that they go to and attend to go and feed them. And the truth is, if you think about spiritually, you're going to starve spiritually if you're only eating two meals a week. Okay? And so there needs to be this time in which you're feeding yourself, and that's what it really means to be mature. Like, you're going to begin to feed yourself, that you don't need people spoon-feeding you. Like, if my son, Jed or Jackson, is like 15 and I'm like still cutting his steak and feeding him, we're going to have some issues. Like, he's not going to be mature. And still, like, that's some of us today. Spiritually, we lack maturity because we're still dependent upon other people to feed us. You will be fed much greater if you'll begin to dig into God's word for yourself and you begin to read for yourself. But not just reading. All right, it doesn't end there. It's not just pick up and just read. In fact, just reading this book won't produce very much in your life. Reading the Bible is the vehicle to connect you with God. And so we're going to read the Bible, and we're going to connect with God, and we're going to begin to ask God questions, and we're going to begin to read this text, and we're going to begin to apply this book to our lives. And so the third thing I want you to see, becoming a hearer and doer of God's word requires application and reflection. It requires application and reflection. That's what he means when he says, but be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Don't just read it. Actually do what it says. One of the commentators that I read, it says this, hearing the scripture read formed an essential element of religious ritual. But James here commands an aspect that was assumed but not always realized. Putting the spoken word into action. He asked his audience to be doers who live out the word to which they have listened. People who do not merely hear the message of salvation, but actually practice their faith. And he says, do not be deceived. And the person who's deceived is this person who's the man in the mirror, okay? Not the Michael Jackson song, but the guy in James chapter 1 right here, okay? I would sing it for you, but I would embarrass my wife. Let's look at this man in the mirror. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and once he forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And so we're going to see this morning, there's a couple illustrations we can pull from this man in the mirror. And the first example is a person who looks in the mirror and walks away. He's not used the mirror for its intended purpose, okay? The mirror was meant to expose imperfections or to improve the way you look. And so it'd be foolish for us to look into the mirror and see an imperfection and not do anything about it. Nobody does that, right? Like, you don't look in the mirror and you got pizza sauce all over your face and you're like, okay, and just walk away. Like, you looked in the mirror because you intended to do something. You intended to fix something. You intended to you know, identify those imperfections or whatever and go, okay, I must do something about this. And the truth is, that's exactly what we're told to do. We're to look at God's word, and we're to see the imperfections in our life, the things that don't match up, the things that are impure, and we're to ask God to expose those things and to ask Christ to transform us in that so that we can walk in obedience. And so what happens, though, sometimes is why we don't do that physically. Like, we don't look in the mirror and just walk away. We fix it. Many times that's exactly what we do with the Word of God. We look in the Word, we read it, and maybe it exposes something, and we just like go, well, oh well, and you just move on. And like, you're not obedient to actually do it. The Word of God is actually meant to show you those imperfections and actually do something about it. See, we see this all the time. And in fact, this is what happens in a lot of Bible studies, is that we'll begin to read the Bible for knowledge only. That we'll gather together and we'll read and we're filling our head with lots of things, but we're not actually filling our heart and hands. We're not really filling our heart and hands and leading us to some type of application. See, somebody can come up and be like, hey, Justin, hey, I just finished the book of Ephesians. I'm like, man, that's awesome, man. Congratulations. Like, you must have learned a ton. Oh, yeah, I learned a ton. I was like, you must be able to really love and lead your family very, very well now because of it. I'm like, well, what do you mean? Well, I mean, Ephesians 5 is all about how you are to lovingly guide and lead your family and love your wife and how you are to love her like Christ loves the church. I just haven't got around to doing that yet. You know? And that's fine. Like, well, what are you doing different based on what you read in Ephesians? Like, how are you living different now based on the fact that you spent so many months reading through the book of Ephesians? And a lot of times it's quiet. And I'd ask you that question this morning in light of maybe, like, you look at your last week, in light of what you've read this last week, what is different about the way that you live in light of what you've read? In light of what you've, had an opportunity to read and listen to this week, what are you doing differently in light of it? In fact, I would ask you even this morning, like, what is God calling you to do different this morning that you may walk out of this door and ignore? And if I were to ask you this question next week, you go, what am I doing different in light of what the Word of God taught me this week? I think that's a great question for us to always ask. What are you calling me to do in light of what I just read? He's calling us to obey. He's calling us to do something. Those who have accepted Jesus, love Jesus, obey Jesus. Okay? 1 John 2:4. All right? And I'm saying, don't be deceived. I'm talking about being deceived. And these aren't my words. These are the words of God. He says this, whoever says I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Very simply, he's called us to obey, not just hear. The second example is this. It's the one who just takes a quick glance. Like the mirror is there, and he just doesn't really give much thought to the mirror. Like, I look good, what do I need a mirror for, right? It's this person that in his pride doesn't necessarily see the use for a mirror. And so we don't look close enough in the mirror. We miss those imperfections or those impurities in our life. We miss that bread that's in our beard from dinner, okay? Because we just glanced in the mirror, we didn't see it. And we move on. And a lot of times it's easy to say, like, in our pride, I got this, I'm good, I don't need a mirror. Just quick look. Just quick, like on the way to work, man, like stopped at a stoplight, just quick look in God's word, I'm good. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying that we are to look intently into it. This means like to get out one of those magnifying mirrors and look at like all the imperfections. Like if you've ever looked in one of those, like your face isn't that pretty because you see all the pores and all the impurities of your face, and you're like looking in this and you're like, man, that's not a pretty sight. Let me back up and look at this one that's like, and that's sometimes why we don't take a long glance, because we don't want to see those things. But he's saying we're to look intently into the perfect law. We're to devour God's word. There's many scriptures tell us feed on it night and day. We're to dive in deep. We're to dig deep. And so how many of us would say, like, talking about the quick glance, how many of us you say, hey, I read the word of God this morning, but by lunchtime, I don't even remember what I read. Like, I couldn't even tell you, like, if somebody were asking me at lunch, hey, what'd you read this morning? You're like, I already forgot. Because it's such just a quick glance, and we didn't really process it. We didn't really apply it. We didn't ask God, God, what are you calling me to do in light of what I just read? He's calling us for application. He's calling us to obey. It's in our obeying that we're truly going to recognize our need for Jesus. And that's why Jesus sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to come and empower us to truly obey. And that gives us an opportunity this morning to respond just in thankfulness to Jesus. Going, Jesus, thank you for sending the Helper. Thank you for sending the Spirit to help us obey. It's not burdensome, because you've given us your Spirit to empower us and to equip us. So God, this morning, would you allow each of us in this room to really just inspect our heart, examine our lives? And God, would you show us where we need to repent of where we have failed to obey your word? God, this morning in this time, would we ask your Spirit to help us, to empower us to obey? And God, this morning, would you lay upon our hearts, we're just asking you to show us maybe in this room how we can encourage one another to obey. How can we come alongside each other to encourage one another in obedience to your word? Thank you, Jesus, for sending the Spirit.